Welcome to the Crime Hive podcast as we have another episode of How They Were Caught.
Crime Hive. Crime Hive. True crime buzz.
Now, this story takes place in the 1990s in Seattle. It would start with a fire erupting from an apartment complex. Firefighters would find a body, and that body was identified as Renee Powell, who was a registered nurse in the area. Police would come on scene and they would find her body face down, and she was positioned in a weird way, almost as if she was staged. There was an ice pick that was found between her legs, and her clothes were torn off except for a shirt. She appeared to be gagged and bound. Police would determine she was strangled before the fire, so they immediately knew this was a homicide investigation. They determined another aspect that was really disturbing, which was the fire was actually started between her legs. So police are starting to gather a profile for this suspect and immediately believing that this person has a hatred toward women just based on that one fact alone. And they would develop more of a profile as this case would continue, which we'll talk about. But they did find evidence of a sexual assault and also a burglary. She had many items missing, including her purse, credit cards, TV, and a VCR, which at that time there were VCRs, if anyone remembers what those are. Police couldn't find anyone responsible. She didn't seem to have any issues with past lovers or coworkers or friends. She just really didn't have any enemies, and she was just admired by people. And again, she was a nurse, so she really wanted to help people. Her life was taken away. Police learned that a month later, another fire at the same apartment complex would erupt. And this time, police are starting to think that this is a possible serial killer and someone who is committing arson in these crimes because it's taking place at the same complex. So this time they used a tactic where they used a helicopter with heat sensors to see if a possible suspect was hiding nearby to watch this fire. And so they were flying over the complex trying to find a heat signature from someone, and they couldn't find anyone hiding, and there was no suspect watching the fire nearby. But police would discover another female victim. So now this is the second victim. This woman was identified as Barbara Walsh, who also was in the healthcare field, and she was also single and living alone. Police determined that she was doing laundry at the time, which was the case with the first victim, Renee Powell. Upon closer examination, police learned that both women had been bound with electrical cords from lamps and had been bound with their undergarments. And so police are starting to believe this suspect was organized and had pre-planned these crimes. He apparently took down the smoke detectors and the doorbell ringers before the fire, just to make sure that the fire was not discovered prematurely. He was attempting to cover up evidence. He had stabbed both victims. He had strangled them both and burglarized them both. Police believe the victims left toward the laundry room and possibly left their doors unlocked, which allowed the suspect to enter the apartment before they returned. And when they returned, he would then violently attack them. And each victim was killed in a manner that police would determine as overkill and severe violence. They would put together a profile or a signature of this suspect where he bound each victim, he stabbed them, he disposed of their body via arson, and he would take souvenirs. So police, again, keep in mind, this is in Seattle, where you have some of the most notorious serial killers who had operated in this area. Ted Bundy, the Green River Killer, and now you've got this individual in the 1990s operating with a very clear motive and was not going to stop. And so police were very active. They checked sex offenders in a 50-mile radius, but they came up empty. Now, they had recovered DNA from one of the victims, This was still pretty early in terms of DNA. It was still in its infancy, but they held on to some evidence from the fire, not knowing if this evidence would be related to the crime, but they would hold on to items that weren't completely destroyed, which we'll talk about here in just a moment. Some tips would come in from the public. One suspect that emerged was a 23-year-old named Gary Dolan. He was unemployed, had no alibi during these crimes, and he refused a polygraph test and would not give DNA to investigators. Police would later wait for him to discard a cigarette butt, and they would test that DNA. But surprisingly, it was negative. And so he was not linked to those crime scenes, and he was no longer a suspect. This case would then become cold over the next 2 years because they just didn't have any connections to these crimes. Again, both victims didn't seem to have enemies. There was no, you know, jealous ex or boyfriend or disgruntled employee, any peers that wanted revenge. They just couldn't find anything like that. So a new tip would come in from a prisoner. Her name was Princess Gray. So she was sitting in prison waiting for the trial of assaulting her boyfriend, her ex-boyfriend, Robert Parker, who apparently had left her for another woman. And so she was quite scorned and looking for revenge. Police had come across these types of scenarios many times, but they were very intrigued by what Princess had to say. Now, she said that Robert had murdered both victims and that they had just lived 150 yards away from the crime scene. Police were intrigued, and she continued on saying that he was bringing over electronics and items that she couldn't account for. She didn't know where these items were coming from, and she was suspicious. She got even more suspicious when he started putting pepper all over the apartment complex, both inside and out, and learned that he was doing that to try to throw off the scent of police canine dogs in the area. She said she still had items that were brought in from Robert at the apartment. So police would actually retrieve those items, and relatives from the victims would identify those items as being the victim's items. So they now have a link with this individual named Robert Parker, and they did a background check on Robert, and they believed he may have been in the drug game and was possibly a dealer. He would deny involvement when they tried to question him. What would really hurt the case for a period of time was Princess would then recount her statement. She apparently had reconciled with Robert, and she changed her statement completely. She would say that the items that police had collected were actually found in the trash near the apartment and had been brought in. She said that Robert was with her the entire time during those crimes. And so she was no longer cooperating with police. But police had spoken with her for hours, and they re-listened to the tapes, and they were able to get some really important clues that would ultimately help them get justice. Now, on the tape, Princess had mentioned Robert would clean up with a towel after they would have sex and would always leave it nearby on a vanity. So he had this ritual of cleaning up immediately with a towel and setting it down. And this intrigued investigators because they had found a towel, a folded towel, in the bathroom of Barbara Walsh's apartment. And the fire had not completely destroyed that towel. Because it was folded, they looked at the towel much more closely and actually discovered 4 pubic hairs. And one of those hairs actually had the root intact with some tissue on it. And they were able to get a DNA profile from that hair. And that hair would match the DNA of Robert and match the DNA results from the rape kit. Now, police now had DNA evidence, which is really powerful in these cases. You know, you might have a lot of circumstantial evidence, and even fingerprints can be disputed by attorneys because it's not always a science. There is somewhat of an art to it. And DNA is much more difficult, of course, for a defense attorney to overcome. And so they had this powerful evidence to be able to arrest Robert. they would arrest him. He would not talk, but police put together what they believe happened. They believed that Robert had stalked these victims for weeks and would brutally attack them due to some issues with his ex-girlfriend, Princess. They believed that they were having a rocky situation and he was stressed and wanted to release that stress on these victims very violently. They believe that this one tiny hair that had not been completely exposed to high heat because it was folded, plus Princess's statement, solved this case. The 23-year-old, hard to imagine how young he was. He was only 23 when he committed these violent crimes. Certainly would have gone on to continue to kill and become quite a serial killer in Seattle. He was luckily apprehended and he was charged with 2 counts of first degree murder, and he would serve life for those crimes. And that was how he was caught. That is this week's podcast episode. I hope you enjoyed this case. You can also find me on social media. Just search for Crime Hive, and I'll be back with another episode next week. Y'all take care.
Crime Hive.
Crime.
True crime buzz.